Good morning and welcome to Community Connections with Children's Services Council of St. Lucie County. I am just one of your hosts, Sean Boyle, and not with me today, unfortunately, is Ashley Mott. However, that gives us a great opportunity to bring one of our co-hosts that always likes to fill in. I'm that might be a stretch to say likes to.
No, I don't mind filling in. It's nice when it's not my show.
Rather easily persuaded to fill in with me today is Trissa Aronson, the CEO and president of the St. Lucie Chamber of Commerce. Thank you, Trissa, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So those of you who are longtime listeners know exactly what I'm going to say. For your first time listeners, I got a little shock here. We are not radio show professionals because we at the Children's Services Council, I should say that Trissa is probably the closest to a media professional because how many TV shows do you do?
I do three now.
Oh, just three. Together, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just three.
But we at the Children's Services Council, not necessarily media professionals, we concentrate on five priorities. And those priorities are one, making sure every baby is a healthy baby. Two, stopping child abuse before it happens. Three, keeping kids off the streets. Four, keeping them in school. And five, keeping them off drugs, alcohol, and other risky behaviors. And when I say that we focus on them, what we do is we develop, fund, and make available programs in all five of those areas that are available to all children and families in St. Lucie County. And we utilize this time together to introduce our listeners to those some of those resources that are available and hopes that the listeners can either utilize them for their family and or pass them on and, dare I say, possibly get entertained in between all the information. That might be the stretch part, right?
I mean, I don't think it's a stretch. I think there's definitely bits of all of that.
There you go. So if you're interested in learning about all these resources and you're like, Sean, Trissa, I'll be happy to listen every week, but that seems like a slow drip to learn about all the resources, you can go to our website, which is, it's an acronym for Children's Services Council St. Lucie County. Go to csclc.org. Again, csclc.org. You can find description of all those programs. And you can even find a downloadable little directory, if you will, that is a shortcut to all the resources we provide in the community, or we'd be happy to deliver you printed copies if you're interested. Just give us a call at 408-1100. Again, 408-1100. And I would be negligent if I didn't also mention that we are on, begrudgingly to a degree, we are on social media. Particularly Facebook and Instagram. We're not cool enough to have TikTok and we abandoned Twitter or whatever it's called a little while ago. But if you look up St. Lucie Children's Services Council, if you jump on our Facebook page, we post on there nearly every day. You can look up the same on Instagram and it's a little bit more fun behind the scenes. It's basically Facebook without words. But please follow us, like us as we share on there regularly. And it's a good way to learn about resources and things to do in the community. And speaking of things to do in the community, and this is my transition to Trissa, you and I had shared an event last week or a couple of weeks ago where we kind of got to update everybody on the Children's Services Council, but also shared about all the cool things that are happening at the Chamber.
Yes, that was our annual luncheon that we do, and it was a packed house. 140, I think, were in attendance,
yeah,
which is pretty darn good. Yeah.
Did you have to twist some arms to get people there?
No, actually, we were sold out. We were starting to, they had told us we could only fit 130 in the room. And we went to 140. But we always know that somebody the day of isn't going to show up. But we did have people standing along the side, which is always a good problem to have, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, if just get a big enough shoehorn and you can get everybody in there.
I mean, if they can hear from the hallway, that's worth the $45 we asked them to pay to come, right?
Sure, absolutely.
For chamber chicken, which was actually pretty good.
I wouldn't know. I didn't get to eat. I was up there talking the whole time, pretty much.
You did not eat the chamber chicken?
I didn't.
Oh, it was delicious that day. I ate it twice.
Oh, there you go. Oh, so you ate my spot. I see what happened.
I did. I ate your chamber chicken. But you also gave away some awards.
We did give away some awards, some our Champion for Children awards. I'm happy to say they went to Lisa from Lisa's Kayaks, Marianne Ketchum, the photographer that always capturing everything at all the events. Who else? Will Armstead from the Boys and Girls Club, the Early Learning Coalition team, and our legislative delegation that really delivered last session, which around background screening to keep children safe, early learning, and then obviously helping with the kid care legislation to allow more families access to health insurance.
Yep. What a great job. What a great job. What a great awards.
And so before we talk about, I'm going to give you a minute to talk about what's going on with the chamber. I'm going to remind our listeners that we are now officially in the holiday season. Halloween has passed. Therefore, roll out your Christmas trees, get ready for Thanksgiving. And as you gather with families, I want to remind everybody that we are having our 12th annual Sounds of the Season concert. It's a free concert on Friday, December 15th at 7 p.m. Tickets are available. Just go to the Sunrise box office. Again, they are free. It features youth from our funded programs performing on the stage, and we want that place packed so that you can bring your loved ones to get into the holiday spirit, but also we can in return give all those performers standing ovations to create a sense of confidence and achievement in those young people that will be performing. And the Chamber is always our pizza sponsor, and we're grateful for that.
We're happy to do it. I mean, it's a great cause. And of course you don't spend government funds or children's services funds on anything food related. So we always step in and we're happy to do it.
And so Teresa, before we go to our guest, because you were kind enough to be my co-host, what else is going on in the chamber that we can share?
Well, we have our major event, our Business and Industry Awards, where we pack the house at Mid-Florida Event Center. It's actually sponsored by Mid-Florida Credit Union. It is January 26th, and last year we had about 365 people in attendance. This year, I suspect it's going to be much of the same. So if you're a business in St. Lucie County, you really should be a part of this. You absolutely should be a part of this. You can just nominate yourself, but don't miss out on coming to watch everything that happens at Business and Industry Awards. It's a carnival theme. It should be a ton of fun.
It is. All the chamber events are fun. You have networking breakfast in Fort Pierce and Port St. Lucie monthly. The business and industry event is definitely a spectacle and always entertaining and fun. And you also have some networking or stakeholder events. But if you're in business or you just want to be connected to the community, definitely go to the chamber's website, because there's multiple events happening each month and all great ways to get connected, particularly if you're a business and wanting to get the word out about what you do.
And also, last thing that the chamber's got going on, we just opened up Young Floridian scholarship applications. So, I mean, you're a huge part of that. Children's Services Council is a huge part of our Young Floridian program. But the application, we're meeting with our school coordinators today, and we also have it online so that our home-based schools and everybody can be a part of Young Floridian. Now, if you do go to a public high school in St. Lucie County, you're going to get with your coordinator, and that list is online as well. But Young Floridian application out now.
Everybody should check that out. Again, that's all that information, again, is on your website as well?
Yep.
All right. I'm going to let in our guest.
Okay.
And we're lucky today to have with us from, I don't know if we can say new anymore, but a relatively new organization in our community that has some good, dear friends as a part of it. And we're here with Adrian and Darcy from Cayuga, which, let's be honest, is just a fun name, or at least fun to say name for an organization, right?
When did Darcy go to this new?
Well, this is why you're on the show. You're going to learn all about that.
Wait a minute. When did Darcy start working there?
Look, and you can't say Cayuga. You have to say Cayuga, like a horn honking almost, right? Like an old school. You know, anybody that watched, you know, old Bugs Bunny cartoons knows what I'm talking about. But Adrian, thank you both for coming onto the show. And Adrian, for those people that maybe aren't that familiar with what Cayuga is and does, can you kind of fill us in?
Absolutely. So Cayuga Centers, we've been on the Treasure Coast for about 2 years now. We started in 1852 up in Auburn, New York, as an orphanage for children who needed care. We, on the Treasure Coast, we offer what's called our Treatment Family Foster Care Program, and that is where we license foster homes, and all of our foster parents, when a child is placed in their home, they are provided a therapist, a skills coach, and a targeted case manager to assist them with, you know, making sure that placement is stable, providing services to the child while the child is in the home, and also providing some psychoeducation to the foster parent, because, you know, it is a very difficult, it's a very difficult adjustment period when a child is placed in your home. So for the foster parent, it's an adjustment. And also for that child being removed from their parent and placed in someone else's home. So we are there as a team to help them through the process. And they get weekly contact with the therapist and the skills coach. And then they get daily contact from the targeted case manager just to check in, see how the night was before, if there are any services that they need, and then linking them back to the therapist or the skills coach or anybody else that in the community that can serve that family. We also have a community mental health program here on the Treasure Coast as well, where we provide mental health services to anyone in the community that has Medicaid. We have a school-based therapist as well who is located at C.A. Moore Elementary, and she is providing therapy to the students who are there at C.A. Moore, as well as their families in need. And we also offer psychiatric services as well, so medication management, and that is all via telehealth.
So you guys do obviously a lot. And I want to talk a little bit about, before we get to Darcy, I want to talk a little bit about the foster home services that you provide, because, you know, deciding to become a foster parent is a big step, right? It's a big commitment. And yes. And the level of support that you provide those foster parents is, I don't want to say above and beyond, but it's really designed for success, right? And I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to become a foster parent and I'm going to have this child forever. And that's usually when kids go into placement in a foster home. And correct me if I'm wrong, Adrian, it's to work so that that child can eventually go back to that family. And so, you know, you got to provide support not only to the child and support to the parents, but also to the foster parents to make that ultimate goal be achieved. And you guys kind of do above and beyond to make sure that that placement is successful.
That is correct. And reunification is always the ultimate goal, to reunify that child back with their parents, and also looking for relatives as well, you know, so that that child can be placed in the least restrictive environment with either a relative or a non-relative. So those are the goals. And sometimes that is difficult for foster parents to kind of understand that temporary stay. We do on the front end always let our foster parents know that reunification is always the ultimate goal for the children placed in their home. And we serve as that liaison between them and the dependency case manager through Communities Connected for Kids, just to help them understand like what that process looks like. So when something happens in court, or, you know, I talk with the dependency case manager and I kind of gather what's going on, then I have the ability to kind of explain it to the foster parents in a way that they can understand it. Because, you know, in this field, we use a lot of acronyms. So just helping them understand what the process is and what's going on is really helpful for the foster parents, and also helping the kids understand as well.
And
a tough job though,
it is a tough job. And you know, obviously not every child ends up getting reunified with their parents. There are, you know, and this happens to be National Adoption Month, and Ashley, who couldn't be here today, she can tell the story. She was a foster parent and ended up adopting her kids. The kids came into the kid family. That's, you know, because her married name is
you
Kid.
And I but were both there at the ceremony.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. I forgot. We both totally were. It was very emotional. Very happy for Ashley and Rob and her entire family. And that's 8-10 years ago. But let Adrian, before again, I know Darcy's there waiting, chomping at the bit to talk about the Ignite program, but let's talk a little bit, because I just happened to run into, you had mentioned Communities Connected for Kids. I'd ran into Sherry Sheffer, who works there, and she was telling us that there was a lot of kids coming into the system now. And when I hear a lot of kids coming into the system, all I can think about is that means we need more foster parents. And so can you tell everybody kind of briefly, like, what it takes to be a foster parent? What's the commitment, and what's the first step to becoming a foster parent?
Absolutely. You came to a great conclusion. Yes, there is a huge need for foster homes. And what we really are looking for here at Cayuga is someone single or married that is willing to open up their heart and their home for children, especially our older children, school age and teenage children. That is the biggest need. And what you need is you need to have your own place. You can either rent or own, but you need to have your own place. There needs to be a room for the child to stay in. You need to have enough income to cover what your, you know, regular bills are, because you do get a stipend for caring for the children who are placed in your home. You do have to pass some background screenings. And then we provide an 8-week course called a CARE class. And that is a virtual class that they would participate in with our licensing specialist here, Victoria, and some other families who are all interested in the process. You go through that course. And after you finish that course, there are a couple of other trainings. There are a lot of trainings because we want you to be as prepared as possible for this journey. Once you do that, a home inspection is done to make sure that the home is safe and that you have the necessary like equipment in your home, like a fire extinguisher, screens on your windows, make sure that your outlets are covered, just to make sure that the child is safe while they are in that home. And after that, we submit your home study and you become a licensed foster parent.
It sounds easy, but we all know the commitment is the hardest part, right? I mean, this is really a true caring adult that can make a difference in these kids' lives. So I can't think of any more serious role that a person can play, or needed role that a person can play. So
they're literally like the superheroes in our community. A lot of times, really often unsung. So a big shout out to all existing foster parents, but obviously there's a need for more. So Adrian, how would they, if they wanted to start this process, do they just give you a call? What's the phone number?
Absolutely. They can give me a call. My number is 561-384-4340. And I will get them quickly linked to our licensing specialist, Victoria, and she will explain to them the process and get them started.
Well, hopefully somebody, you know, we talk about, particularly in the month of November, we talk a lot about this topic. And sometimes, you know, it's one of those things that sits in people's minds and hearts maybe for a month or two or 3 years or whatever it may be. And then at some point, something clicks or their situation changes and they're like, you know what, we're ready to take this step. And if you're ready to take this step, there is no better organization to take that step with than Cayuga. And again, call them at 561-384-4340. So now we're going to transition to Darcy with the Ignite program. And Darcy, apparently you're going to have to explain to Teresa why you're no longer with the roundtable. But Darcy, explain to everybody what the Ignite program is and does.
Good morning, everybody. We're Ignite Youth Alliance. We are a mentor organization on the Cayuga Centers that provide mentor services to kids at Hope Youth in our community. We provide mentoring. We also help with sanctions, court, educational, employment assistance. We have a couple of facilitated groups. We also do boys and girls circles, lead them to any community-based services. And most of all, just being that truly caring adult in their lives. That's the most important thing, being that one caring adult in that youth lives, and also linking them to more caring adults, because we know the more caring adults they have, the better their outcome will be. So that's the Ignite Youth Alliance under Cayuga Centers.
So Teresa, and those people that maybe are like, well, wait a minute, didn't Ignite used to be under the round table? It did, in fact, used to be under the round table. But in order to help with the continued, for lack of a better word, programming or the way the service were delivered, as well as, let's be honest, funding, it made the shift under more of a behavioral health approach under Cayuga. And so that transition just happened about, we'll say, 2 months ago, 3 months ago?
October 9th.
October 9th.
Okay.
October
9th. Not that anybody knows exactly when, but October 9th.
Yeah. That's very specific. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, because it was always under the round table.
Right. And so we're very fortunate that Cayuga stepped up, and we also got to give full credit to Southeast Florida Behavioral Health Network, who helped kind of sustain the fiscal end of that model, and part of the reason why it shifted to that. So what I heard you say, Darcy, is it's kind of like, it's like mentoring times 10, if you will, because we all, everybody thinks they do, you know, everybody says they do mentoring, right? But mentoring does have a very prescribed way of service delivery. And if you're going to mentor somebody, you can't be a mentor for a month and then move on. That really doesn't have as great an impact or an impact at all. So when you guys say that you mentor young men, particularly those that maybe have sanctions, like, what's the qualification to get into the Ignite program under Cayuga?
Well, right now, since we're up on the Cayuga centers, it opened up the door for a lot of more kids to have a mentor and get services from the Ignite Youth Alliance. So since we're going more to a behavioral health model, we are able to serve not only kids in the target area that we usually been serving during the comprehensive game model, but any kid in St. Lucie County that have any kind of mental health issues or behavior issues. So that kind of broadened up the door for us that we could put our hands on more kids and hopefully provide them the best mentor services around.
Yeah, that definitely opens it up for sure, right? And you guys were already very impactful with the audiences that you were serving prior to October 9th. You're going to be even more impactful when you kind of open it up to the entire community. That's huge.
Yeah, that's very huge, but it's a blessing as well, because now on the Cayuga Center, we can be really focusing in on the clients. Since we have a big caseload under the round table, in the community, we was looking at kids that was driving the violence and targeting those kids. But now we don't have to tell the kid no, they can't get services because they don't meet our old criteria. So long as they have some type of mental health issues or behavior issues, now they can be a part of our winning team, and we can provide those extended services. And the best thing about it, this is what I love about Cayuga Centers, is it's now, instead of having to go out and linking them to different services, special mental health services, we can bring them in-house. So it's like a win-win situation where all the kids that we're providing services to, we could do family therapy, one-on-one therapy, meds management. So, and now we could be right there the whole step of the way. So when the child gets into the program, we could do assessment, see if they had any behavioral needs, and we could automatically give them services right then, start those services right then, instead of them having to be on a referral list, a waiting list. And also, if they already have a targeted case management and they're still getting services from different organizations, we still got to help them through that process as well. But being up on the Cayuga Center, it's everything in-house, everything.
And Teresa, you can imagine, and just think about it in your own life, like, you know, like, oh, you know, you get a doctor's appointment, and I'm just making this up on the fly, but you get a doctor's appointment and they refer you to somebody and they expect you to make all that arrangements. There's a lot of times where it kind of falls apart there. Now imagine in social service field, when you're like, oh, you know, you meet with somebody, you know, you were looking for help, and they're like, oh, here's five numbers you're going to call to get help.
Yeah.
You know, most of those are going to fall through because it's hard for that person to follow up, but to have it all in house, make sure that that continuum is there and those services actually get delivered.
And a lot of these people are already in crisis, right? When you're trying to tell them to do all these other things. And I mean, I'm not even in crisis and you tell me I got to go do something over there, and I'm probably, it's going to take me a minute. I'm going to be honest, right?
Right. or you're just going to tap out. You're like, you know what?
Yeah,
there's three more calls I got to make. I'm done.
I totally get that, because what is the percentage, would you say, Darcy? I mean, you've been doing this for a long time. how many of them need wraparound services in some other way, especially mental health?
Oh, man, I believe at least about 85 to 90% need some type of wraparound services. Especially, like I say, the kids that get referred to Ignite Youth Alliance are one of the most vulnerable kids in St. Lucie County. And so they have all these personal issues, the family dynamics going on. Mm-hmm. And then once we get them in our caseload and we have to get the parents to do this, sign these documents, get them to these appointments, it was a lot of barriers. But we was able to bridge those barriers and be able to link these kids to the services they needed. And it's hard. It takes a lot of rapport building, a lot of trust. And then once, you know, they trust and believe in what we're doing, then they're able to go forward with the services. But right now, once they become part of the program, they got the services at hand. Day one, they start getting these services. And so, a lot of our youth in St. Lucie County need this wraparound services. Not just the youth, but the whole family needs the wraparound service.
And what's cool, Teresa, what happened on October 9th when it transitioned from the roundtable to Cayuga was it was the whole team transition, right? So, you know, Marcus, the whole team, everybody went over. And you know, the strength of this program is obviously the model, but it's also the people that are there providing the services. So we're very, very grateful and excited that came to fruition, that everybody was able to come over. So yes. Marcy, we've got a couple minutes left. So where most of your referrals come from? And if somebody's listening, they're like, you know what, my son or daughter qualifies, or grandson or granddaughter or whatever it may be. Where do most of your referrals come from, and how do they make that referral?
Well, you know, we still have our old referral process of when people calling Darcy and let them know that they have a youth that need to be referred. But we also, you could go on CayugaCenters.org. You could go on CayugaCenters.org and you could go to the preventive and case managed service link. Then once you hit that link, you can scroll all the way down to Ignite Youth Alliance. Then once you get Ignite Youth Alliance, you can hit that link and you can do your referral process right there on Cayuga Center's own website.
Oh, that's great. And we always like to break down some of the barriers, because, you know, it's hard sometimes to ask for help. And then once you make that call, people, or go on that website, if you will, what kind of information is asked?
It's just a simple referral process where they're going to ask for the name, what the geographical part, then we'll ask some questions about their school. Do they have any kind of DJJ or affiliation, or do they know they're in a gang or a gang affiliation, in mental health situations? And then they also can have a session where they can just jot down the reason for the referral and just put their name and their contact number. And soon we get that referral, we're going to reach out to that individual within a week. We'll reach out to have a conversation with the person that made the referral. And once we have that conversation, we can kind of know how can we move forward with that youth.
Okay, that's great. And you mentioned, I know they can go to CayugaCenter.org, but you mentioned, can they call the same phone number they get a hold of Adrian? Or are you giving out a cell number here? What's happening?
Well, I'm not going to give out Ms. Adrian's number, because Ms. Adrian has a lot going on herself. So they still can contact Darcy McFoley at 772-267-7809. You can reach out to me. We can have a conversation. I can link you to the referral process. If I need to send you out a referral through email myself, I'll also be able to do that. And we can have a conversation about the youth that been referred. And don't forget, we do provide services to young ladies as well that been victimized with mental health or behavior issues.
That's great. Well, I don't know about you, Teresa, but, you know, it's kind of cool to be on a radio program with two such great community-oriented people that we've known for a long time, some in different roles, but, you know, two of our most favorite people on you know, one radio show is really a win-win, right?
Thank you.
Well, thank you both for coming on. We're going to remind everybody, check out Cayuga if you're interested in becoming a foster parent, and or you have a youth or a male or female that might qualify for the Ignite Youth Alliance. You can't go wrong either way. Give Cayuga for the foster care aspect, foster home aspect, at give them a call at 561-384-4340. Or if you're interested in Ignite Mentoring Services, call Darcy at 772-267-7809. And if you're like, you know what, Sean, I'm not calling anybody, just go to CayugaCenter.org and learn about all their services that they provide. And also, while we're talking about this, Trissa, give out your website so everybody can get connected to everything happening at the chamber.
Absolutely. It's stlucychamber.org, and it's stlucychamber.org.
All right. We are grateful for every listen. A reminder that it's a weekly radio program every Sunday on 104.5 The Flame, our great partner. But if you miss that show, do not fret. Do not fear. Just pull up your phone, pull up your favorite podcast app, and look up Community Connections with Children's Services Council. Because did you know, Trissa, we're on Spotify, Apple, Google, all that fun stuff.
No excuses.
We're grateful for every listen. And a reminder that it's our children, our community, our future. We're all in this together. We'll see you next time.